Front Page Dramas presents Carlotta's Jewel. This week's Front Page Drama, Carlotta's Jewels, is a dramatization of a feature article of unusual historical interest, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Lying in 30 fathoms of storm-tossed, turbulent waters off Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, rests the hulk of the ill-fated liner, Merida. Locked securely in the hold are $6 million worth of precious jewels, the crown jewels of Maximilian I, Emperor of Mexico. It is this huge fortune that has attracted treasure hunters to try and salvage the sunken liner. No fewer than 7 expeditions have tried to recover the treasure, but the fierce, angry waves of the Atlantic, stirred to fury by the hurricanes that sweep Cape Hatteras, have defied all attempts to lift the precious jewels. But there are those who will refute the statement that it is the weather that causes the failures to recover so rich a prize. The jewels are cursed, say these prophets of doom. The answer isn't in the barometer, it's in the history book. So it is our purpose to examine this statement and see just what there is to this so-called curse. Let us turn back the pages of history 300 years to a spring night where a merchant ship is lying at anchor off the coast of Burma. In her main cabin, Count Hermann Habsburg of the Austrian royal family is studying a map with several members of his expedition.
There is not the slightest doubt about it, gentlemen. That is the Temple of Rama. In that temple lies the most fabulous treasure ever known to man. Rubies, diamonds, emeralds, and the finest examples of exquisite gold ornaments and plate. And it is ours for the taking.
It is incredible, Your Highness. A fortune in precious jewels and gold lying there unguarded, ready to be snatched up and carried away by the first bold adventurer to enter the temple.
Aye, gentlemen, and there's the rub. The first adventurer bold enough to enter the temple and face the high priest. But, gentlemen, would you ever leave with your precious booty?
And who is there to stop us? The high priest you speak of? Bah, bind and gag him.
Or run him through with the keen blade of a sword.
So you say, gentlemen. But I am a seafaring man. I've sailed through this mysterious land of the East. I've seen proof that these high priests are endowed with powers that rise above mere mortal man. A curse called down upon you by a high priest is known to strike as swiftly and deadly as the sting of the cobra.
You sailors, Captain, have the superstition of a fishwife. There's nothing between myself and the precious loot I seek but the mad utterances of an old man. I'll take the chance of that.
Aye, that speaks for me, Your Highness. What say you, gentlemen?
Aye.
Well, then. Good. Then tonight, gentlemen. We will do it tonight, and success or failure, we be done with.
You chartered my vessel, gentlemen, with myself and my crew as sailors, not privateers or pirates. We will strike out the longboat, lower it away, row you ashore and back again. But as for the seizure of the jewels, we want none of it.
Well, that is good. We ask no more. For with this statement, you hereby forfeit any right to a share of the spoil.
Gladly. And it be further understood that my men will not touch any of the loot in loading or unloading.
Very well. We can easily handle our own cargo, Captain.
Captain, what makes you so fearful of any hand in this enterprise, even to the touching of the treasure?
You have and will continue to scoff at my warning. But I've heard it told. He who is not of the faith that looks upon the altar of the temple of Rama shall be cursed forever. And that he who disturbs or defiles the ornaments of the altar of the temple of Rama shall be cursed. And the curse shall descend upon all those of his blood forever.
Very interesting, Captain. But as I have said, mere superstition. Well, gentlemen, to the business at hand. Here now is the plan of the temple. Follow me closely, and I will outline our plan of attack and the duties I will assign to each of us. Now, here at this end is the altar. And in this center. Now, listen, Father, come. Every man to his post. Look. Look at those jewels upon the goddess in the center. See how they shimmer and glitter even in the pale light of the altar lamp. I'll attend to those. Service.
Yeah.
You see the gold plate. Otto?
Yeah.
You take those guard on one side. Franz?
Sure.
You the one on the other. Ready now. swiftly, quietly.
Who is there? Who comes at night like a jackal? Speak! Who dare defile the sacred temple of Rara? Who comes there?
Please, and bind the old man, Joseph. But remember, no bloodshed.
Who?
He cannot see us here in the shadows. Keep close to the wall until we get close to him.
I, Sutama, I, priest of Rama, command you, show yourselves if ye be not of the unclean. Show yourselves before I pronounce upon you and all those of your blood the curse of Rama. For time can never remove the curse. Throughout the ages, beyond the pale of death, shall the visitation of the curse be upon you and yours forever. Speak, I command you, and show yourselves. Then you come like thieves and jackals into the sacred temple of the gods, and I pronounce the curse of Rama upon you and those of your blood forever.
I have him, Your Highness. Quick, man, help me find him.
Good. Yeah. I'll see the jewels.
And so Count Hermann Habsburg and his aides stripped the temple of Rama of its precious jewels and plate. They loaded the merchantman and set sail for home. And at the court in Vienna, soon after their return home, one of the emperor's advisers jealously whispered to his majesty.
Indeed, your majesty. It is a most serious matter and commands your immediate attention. Count Hermann, with the stolen loot, becomes the richest man in all Europe. Need I remind your majesty, money is power.
I have given much thought to your report, but so far I see no reason for condemning my cousin.
No? Do you not see the danger of your cousin making such a vulgar display of his ill-gotten wealth, entertaining lavishly those whom we have marked as enemies of the crown. Even now, they may be plotting to remove your majesty and put Hermann on the throne. Remember, our treasury is pitifully low. The lords might feel that if Hermann, in his great wealth and power, their tax burdens would be lighter. The general credit of the whole country much more sound.
I see. That phase of the situation had not occurred to me. What is your plan?
Count Hermann is at present at his hunting lodge. Not many of his followers are there. We will seize him at night, cast him into prison, and seize his jewels and fortune for the crown.
It shall be done. Write up the warrants. I will sign them.
And so it appears the curse began to work, for Count Hermann was seized, thrown into prison, and the perfidy of his royal cousin, plus the thought of the curse of the high priest of Rama, began to prey upon his mind, and he died a raving maniac. But the emperor had no sooner gotten his hands on the jewels than he met a violent death at the hands of an assassin, and the curse descended upon the house of Habsburg. The reign of Ferdinand I was filled with revolt, riot, and bloodshed, and he was forced to abdicate the throne in favor of his cousin, the unlucky, ill-fated Franz Joseph, who became heir to the jewels. By this time, he realized that the story of the curse may have been true, and he was eager to get rid of them. The chance came when...
It is with a great deal of pleasure that Elizabeth and I learn of your great fortune and the honor bestowed upon you by Louis Napoleon in appointing you Emperor of Mexico. We feel that with your quiet, studious nature, your regal bearing and great foresight, you will make Mexico a wise and just ruler.
You do me great honor, Cousin Franz Joseph. Charlotte and myself realize the great responsibility placed upon us. And we will do our best to live up to the great trust placed in us by yourself, Louis Napoleon of France, and Her Majesty Queen Victoria.
I am sure you will, Maximilian.
And your cousin the Emperor has prepared a most generous farewell gift for you and your Empress Charlotte. The Emperor has given you the entire Rama collection of jewels, my dear.
Right.
The most valuable collection of Oriental jewels in the world.
Are those the jewels that are spoken of as bearing a curse, dear cousin?
I believe there are some strange stories circulated about them because of their association with one of our early ancestors. But that, my dear, is utterly ridiculous. Mere peasant superstition. Your cousin, the Emperor, and myself have possessed them. Yes, and worn them on state occasions.
Nothing has happened to us.
A magistrate empress like myself disregards such silly stories.
You are right, dear cousin. I, too, ridicule such foolish superstition. Your very generous gift, dear cousin, is not welcome, I assure you. And you cannot find words to show our appreciation. You shall cherish the gift always.
My couriers and special guards have carried him to Mexico for you, dear cousin.
And so the great Rama collection went off with Maximilian and his Empress Charlotte, or as the Mexicans called her, Carlotta. How they tried for 3 unhappy years to rule Mexico, a country that didn't want them. How he was betrayed by Louis Napoleon and was finally captured and shot to death form one of the most pitiful chapters in history. But back in Europe, Franz Joseph, who thought by giving the jewels away he would escape the curse, finds he was mistaken.
Come, tell us, have you any news of His Highness the Crown Prince Rudolf?
Did you go to his hunting lodge at Castle Myerling, as we instructed?
I did, Your Majesty. And he was there? Yes, Your Majesty.
And she, the commoner, Marie Vetsara, was there with him?
She was, Your Majesty.
You see, I was right. He is a fighter, broken his promise.
He shall be punished severely. Go back and order his immediate return to Vienna. I'm afraid it is too late, Your Majesty.
You mean they have been married?
No, Your Majesty. I am a bearer of the most tragic news. His Royal Highness, Crown Prince Rudolf, and Countess Marie Vetsara are both dead. Just to death, Your Majesty.
And so the curse of Rama took its toll of the Habsburgs. 9 years later, in Geneva, Switzerland, the Emperor Franz Joseph and the Empress Elizabeth are riding in an open carriage in a state procession.
I can't see why such extraordinary precautions were taken on this visit, for the crowds are very friendly. We're enjoying greater ovations here than we have afforded in parts of our own empire.
The authorities have to exercise extreme care, my dear. There has been a great deal of anarchy spreading throughout Europe.
In some places, yes. But here in quiet, beautiful Switzerland...
I will have first! Yes, I will the oppressors of the people!
Oh, my dear. You are hurt. Oh. Stop the carriage! Stop the carriage!
No!
The Empress is wounded.
No, my dear. Drive on. Drive on.
Once again, the fatal curse fell upon the Habsburgs, even though the cursed jewels of Rama were resting in the treasury of Mexico. In that country, revolution and bloodshed were brewing, and in 1911, President Porfirio Diaz fled with the jewels aboard the steamship Merida, especially chartered for the occasion, and off Cape Hatteras in a dense fog struck the steamer Admiral Farragut, ripping a deep gash in the Merida's hull and sending her to the bottom with the cursed jewels. But the curse lived on to visit 2 more Habsburgs. The Grand Duke Francis and his wife, who were assassinated at Sarajevo, the event which precipitated the World War, the defeat of the House of Habsburg, and the death by a broken heart of Franz Joseph. The last of those who touched the jewels was Carlotta, Empress of Mexico, who, hopelessly insane for years, died in Belgium, still thinking she was the Empress in her court in Mexico. You have just heard Carlotta's Jewels, a dramatization of a feature article of unusual historical interest by the same name, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the greatest enjoyment in the many fine articles and feature fiction by the world's best writers in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.